Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio. And every once in a while, folks, I get to do something that's related to bass fishing, but boy, I tell you what, that makes you grin. And with me today is Bill McElroy. And Bill, scales and tails going strong.
Oh, thanks, Terry. It's nice to be here.
Well, I guess the first thing we need to talk about is scales and tails. And if you've ever been out to the magazine world or Bass Times, it used to be, and now with Action, you know, you look at the neat things that are going on and the funny things that are going on. The cartoon world is going strong in the bass fishing business, isn't it?
Well, it's something new, and I've always been interested in doing that kind of thing ever since I was a little kid, and there's no better way to attempt to make a living than combining your two favorite hobbies into something that eventually will pay off. And as much of a hardcore fisherman as I am, I love to dabble in artwork and cartooning, and combining the two is really an opportunity that's presented me with a lot of exposure and a lot of opportunities to do something that I really love. And it's just it's a great thing to be able to make people smile at the same time as, you know, providing them with laughs and while they're doing something they like to do too. It's a great opportunity.
Well, you know, the first thing is that the cartoons are fantastic, but the writing style that you have, and you know, I always accuse you of being as a kid fell on your head too many times.
Well, you know, that's a challenge. You know, trying to make a living with a closed head injury can be a lucrative thing if you work hard enough at it.
That's right. Well, you know, the guys that fish, you know, the people that are fishermen, a lot of people think we're nuts too. So I guess we kind of fit into that. Some of the recent cartoons, you know, one in particular that comes to mind for me, a couple of smallmouth were sitting there talking, and it looked like they were having a news coverage. And one was saying, "Yeah, well, this morning at 8:10, I broke off of the first fisherman, and then I went to second place, and there was a crankbait there, and I broke him off." And
yeah, that one was called post-tournament interviews, and you know, a lot of my stuff is based on personal experience as well as just talking and experiencing things with friends and family and reading and stuff. And I like to take things that everybody can relate to. Anybody that's fished, you know, has sometime in their life, they're either going to break off or they're going to break a rod. They're going to do something that will, you know, make them relatively unhappy at the time it happens. But then when they look back and they see something like that, they can chuckle and, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, let's talk about characters. You know, you've gotten multitudes of them, but in the bass fishing business, you've got, I don't know, a multitude of them that are all related to the bass fishing business, and then you have a muskie in there, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I've got about 15 different characters. I usually use 7 or 8 of them consistently. And, you know, personality, we're working on developing their personalities as we go along. But, you know, Lucky and Rosie and old Spine Crusher, the muskie, he's one of my favorites to draw, but I have a preference to the crayfish too. For some reason, I just like drawing them, and I can put a little bit more personality into those crayfish than I can anything else. But they are my favorites.
Well, I like old Clay. You know, he's a pretty good guy. He's kind of a mollusk type looking dude, and
all of his expression through his eyes. But I've often thought about maybe putting a think bubble over him occasionally, because. But then again, I like to let the viewer add their own caption as to what Clay might be thinking.
Well, he kind of reminds me of the curmudgeons, you know, that are on the Sesame Street deal, you know, where they set up in the balcony and make fun of people. And
exactly.
He kind of reminds me of them. Now, the crawdads that you have in this thing, they're kind of like the analysts, aren't they? They're the guys that are the smart guys.
Really? Actually, the crayfish are where I put my own feelings and thoughts. A lot of times they'll be my narrative part of the deal. A lot of times I'll have them thinking what I'm thinking versus... and I'll try and keep my personality out of the other characters, but I have a tendency to inject it into the crayfish just for some reason. I don't know why, but I think it's just something I like to do. And, you know, every once in a while, we have to try and keep our thoughts and everything, you know, out of it as much as possible. But I just can't let go of the crayfish.
Well, your personality comes through very, very well, I'll tell you that. But, you know, I guess kind of go back through these characters, and I know you developed them over time, and one of the favorites I have out there, of course, is Lucky, and you look at him, and he's got this great big bottom lip, no top lip, and he's broke off just about everybody that he's been in contact with, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, Lucky, he's a sucker for anything that comes by. He just has himself. He's taken more boat rides than just about any other character. He falls for anything. He gets caught more often, and he gets held up and photographed more often than anybody else. That's why his bottom lip is so big. You know, it's just from being held up all the time. And he just, He's a good fish. He's a good guy. He just can't seem to keep himself out of trouble.
Well, he might be hungry. You know, he's a relatively fat guy. You know, he kind of reminds me of me and you. And
yeah.
And he, you know, he's kind of wanting to eat all the time. So maybe that's part of his problem. But then you got Rosie. You know, Rosie comes in there. She's the queen bee of the whole scales and tails deal.
Right. Rosie has a tendency to keep Lucky in line. Rosie is Lucky's girlfriend, obviously, and. She has a tendency to keep him on a straight and narrow. He has to, you know, Lucky, he'll veer off course every once in a while. It's Rosie's job to keep him back in line.
Well, how much interplay, you know, the old spine crusher, you know, as a bass fisherman, you and I know that muskie, he's out there probably eating a lot of the things that Rosie and Lucky wants to get into, but old spine crusher has a way of just kind of showing up, doesn't he?
Yeah, he just kind of, well, I live on Lake St. Clair, not on it, but close to Lake St. Clair, which is a phenomenal muskie fishery in itself, and as well as bass. And, you know, it's not uncommon for us to, you know, we'll be out there bass fishing, and, you know, we'll get bit off or we'll catch a big, you know, 40-inch, 50-inch, I mean, not 50-inch, but a big, you know, 40-inch class muskie. And it's just, they're out there. And every once in a while, so I like to, he's kind of like the tough guy in the group. He likes to show up, but a little Punky Rockefeller, the little female crayfish that I draw every now and then, is the only one that's been able to keep... spine crusher wrapped around her little pincher. He's, for some reason, he falls for her and what she's got him wrapped. So it's fun to play around with that kind of stuff.
Well, I got to tell you, this is a great story, folks. We're just at ICAST, and of course, you were there, Bill, in big way, with the things, and we'll get into the business part of this as we go along here. But one thing that's very, very important is we just asked you, how quick can you draw one? And about 20 seconds later, we had old Lucky sitting there in front of me.
Yeah, after you've drawn them a few thousand times, it gets pretty easy. In fact, I've woken up in the middle of the night, and, you know, all of a sudden, wow, where did this Lucky wallpaper come from? And it's just, even though I don't have anything like that in my house, it's like, man, I have a tendency to see him everywhere.
Well, you definitely turn this into a business interest. And I guess one of the things that, you know, maybe go down that path with us a little bit, you know, something you've taken that was just a fun thing for you to do, and you did the cartooning and that kind of stuff for Bass Times, all of a sudden has become pretty big business for you.
When I was offered the opportunity to do some licensing and product development from Action Performance in Phoenix, was when it really took off. And that was an opportunity that was just too good to turn down. And so we're developing this, and, you know, statistics are showing that the average age of a fisherman, specifically tournament fisherman, is creeping up. And that, you know, to me, that tells me that we're not getting the influx of youth in the sport that we need to continue the long-term growth. And so my goal, you know, one of my goals is to try and bring some awareness to the whole sport itself, not only the competitive side, but just fishing in general and how fun it is for families and individuals to be involved starting at a young age. And so if I can develop a cartoon strip or bring something to the table that is unique and different and humorous, maybe we can get more people involved. And Action has really stepped up, as well as Ranger. Ranger Boats have really gone above and beyond to help me accomplish this goal. And between the Action and Ranger, I think that we're making some progress.
Well, there's no question, you know, that the characters have a life of their own. And there's a bass boat, I guess, running around somewhere up in the Michigan area that kind of has the scales and tails written all over it, doesn't it?
I'll tell you what, Ranger built two of those. They've got one that we've been taking around the FLW tours, and then I've got my own personal boat with the wrap on it also. And I tell you, that is a... it's quite a conversation piece. Everywhere I go, when I'm traveling or in gas stations or at marinas or anywhere fishing, people just come up and say, man, that is cool. You know, and it's definitely not like anything else they've ever seen. You can actually see the boat. There's pictures of it on my website.
How much grinning do you get with people driving down the road?
They love it. They honk and they wave, and, you know, the little kids, and especially little kids, will be, you know, faces pressed up against the window, waving and going, pointing, going, hey, you know, look at that boat, that's cool.
Well, you need to get one of those air horns like the semis have, so, you know, you can blast it, you know, the old arm movement, you know, pulling that thing down to make sure that the semis honk the horn. Well, maybe the kids would do that if you got one of those.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, Bill, you know, as usual, you know, it's a very short period of time we have here at Bass Fan Radio, but it's a great opportunity for folks to get out, get a little chuckle in the bass fishing business, and scales and tails, you might be surprised where they're going to show up here in the next little bit.
Well, I really appreciate it, Terry. It's great, and it was nice to meet you and CJ again at the ICAST, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again down at the Classic. I'll be there next weekend, so if anybody wants to stop by the Ranger booth and introduce themselves to me, I'd be glad to... chat with them for a while. It's always fun meeting Scales and Tails fans as well as just fishermen in general.
Well, I hope I haven't got you into drawing a whole bunch of pictures that day, you know, but folks, he can draw it, and he can draw it quick. So,
well, I'd be happy to do it. I love it. Anybody that wants me to draw something for him, just come on over and ask me, and I'd be happy to do it for him. I do a lot of them at all these different shows, and it's a kick. I just get off on doing it.
I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.